Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, it's Thursday. So great to have David Noble in the house with us here on Montana Talks. We've got a couple of different options we could throw out there for the woke update of the week. But David, man, what was it over a year ago? You started saying, hey, not only do we have to do a woke update of the week, we got to wake them up. Update of the week, too, waking people up to Liberal Senator John Tester's failed record. Anyway, good to see you here. I'm feeling pretty good. Less than 3 weeks to go till Election Day, but we can't take our foot off the gas here.
Yeah, I mean, I've been feeling a little bit of reservations about really being honest with folks about how I'm feeling. On one hand. You know, when I'm streaming on Twitch, when I'm on the radio, all I do is just nothing but 100% authentic, genuine, hey, here's how I'm feeling, here's what I think. But at the same time, do I really want to be out there saying, hey, I think we're going to have a red wave. I think Trump's going to win. I think Sheehy's going to win. I don't know if that's the benefit to folks out there. I certainly hope me just expressing my personal opinion about how I'm feeling wouldn't ever lead anybody to not vote. Obviously, we got to get out and vote. I've already voted. I voted. I've got my I voted sticker on my Stanley mug. proudly I voted. So I've already voted. No on all the CIs. Actually, Senator Tom McGillray sent out his voter recommendation email last night. Shout out to Senator McGillray. Looks like my ballot and his ballot is almost identical. So
it's
that's
almost.
Good.
What do you mean almost? It should be absolutely identical. But
I don't want to give out all my votes.
Right. You know, on that front, I get a lot of people saying to me, "Hey, is there a voter guide anywhere that you recommend?" I would reach out to like the Gallatin County Republican Women. They cover your local issues. They cover all the other candidates and things like that. I think the Yellowstone County GOP has done a similar one. So reach out to them for more specific local area voter guides.
But yeah, or people like Senator McGillray who sent out a voter recommendation, and especially on some of these nonpartisan positions in your local areas that maybe aren't getting the media attention or talking about, but there are folks out there who do know, who have spent their time and who we can trust, who we respect, people like Senator McGillray, who's put in the time and effort to really research some of this stuff. And by the way, it's like when it comes to voting, one of my pet peeves is this idea from the Democrats that you should vote even if you're uninformed, even if you're admittedly uninformed. You don't know what the issues are. You don't know what the candidates are. Democrats will tell you to tell vote. I personally believe that as a responsible citizen of a republic, and what I do when I'm in the voting booth and I've got a ballot and I'm going down the ballot and I get to a race or an issue that I'm not 100% knowledgeable about, I skip that race. That's what a responsible voter does. You don't just randomly pick.
Yeah, Danica Patrick admitted that she's never voted before, but she said this time she's going to vote for the first time ever. And some people are critical of her for that. I'm like, no, if you don't want to get engaged, if you don't want to get informed.
And she didn't feel that she was informed enough to make a good vote.
If you're not informed enough to vote, then yeah, don't just go vote for whatever. I'm with you on that front.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. President Biden, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and dozens of bipartisan lawmakers demand that congressional leaders recall the House and Senate to address Hurricanes Milton and Helene. President Biden has the power to summon lawmakers back to Washington if he wants, with a big caveat. Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution says the president, quote, may, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them. However, both the House and Senate are not in the proper parliamentary posture for a presidential recall. The House and Senate are not adjourned. They are technically in session. Before leaving in late September, both the House and Senate failed to approve what we call an adjournment resolution. This forces the House and Senate to gavel in briefly with a skeleton crew to meet the constitutional requirement of huddling every 3 days. The House and Senate will continue meeting at regular 3-day intervals until after the election. So under this parliamentary disposition, it would be up to House Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to recall lawmakers and not President Biden. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with rain likely for both Billings and Bozeman. High temperatures staying confined to the 40s for Bozeman, but expecting low to mid-50s for Billings. Then for tonight, rain could mix with some snow showers for Bozeman. Less than a half inch of nighttime snowfall, lows into the upper part of the 30s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Man, Dane Fletcher sounded off. Dane Fletcher, the former Montana State Bobcat football great. He played in the NFL. He's got a business in Bozeman now, but he was up at hunting camp, and he went on Instagram and sounded off on the liberal Bozeman city commissioners and the mayor over all the illegal aliens committing crimes, the transients, and much more. If you missed it, listen to Wednesday's Montana Talks in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, full audio on the Montana Talks app.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Well, I really want to get David Noble's take on the Kamala Harris, Bret Baier interview and more. But David, first, you were talking about, you know, all the various local elections and the ballots, you know, Gallatin County, Butte, Billings, et cetera. One of the ones that I thought was interesting, I had one of our listeners in Bozeman sent me a photo of his ballot in Bozeman. And, you know, they approved, back during the primary, they approved their study commission, the Gallatin County Study Commission, where you review your county government or you review your city government. Well, people were asking at the time, well, what happens then? If you vote to review your local government, well, what's the process? Well, you elect basically a commissioner who will lead that review process. And in Bozeman, there's like 15 people that are running for to be the review study commissioner or something like that. And so I would throw that out to our friends in Bozeman. Who are you guys recommending there? Because that was one I was like, holy cow, there's a long list of names. And I just briefly glanced at it. I saw former Bozeman Mayor Jeff Krause is on the list. And I'm sure there's probably a couple of other good folks that are on the list as well. But that was just one of the names that stood out to me.
The one you don't want to vote for is that Billy guy. He's running.
Yeah. Yeah, the crazy. Oh, yes. I saw his name on the list. Yeah.
He's running. Don't vote for Billy.
Don't vote for the crazy sex shop owner of Bozeman to review your local government. That guy is nuts.
Oh, yeah.
He is absolutely. I mean, I don't want to pick on anybody. But that guy, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I think he's got actual, like, mental issues because I've tried to even have, like, just a normal conversation with him on X. And some days he'll have a nice conversation with you. And then immediately he's like, well, we need – and then he just freaks out. And it's like, okay, man, whatever. But this guy, he is, like, one of the most influential Democrats in the Montana Democrat Party. And he's the guy who got busted at a – parade. He basically was sexually harassing a young Republican woman by asking her about sex toys. This is that guy who wants to review your local government in Bozeman. He'd probably be the local Democrats' top choice as well.
Oh, yeah.
Make it even crazier.
And he's your classic sort of progressive left, hard left Democrat. He's one of these classic activists within the Democrat Party. He's a leader within the Democrat Party. And it's just so amazing to see people like that, who's the real true believer base of the far left Democrat base. And then to see Kamala Harris and John Tester running as far away as possible as they can from anything that Billy would ever say. I mean, just blatantly running away. I mean, Kamala Harris last night in that interview was finally confronted with some of her past policy positions and how she's completely 180'd on all of them. She has no answer for any of it. All she does is just filibuster and start talking about other stuff and tell Bret Baier, I'm talking, Bret, I'm talking.
It's like when Ken in Great Falls calls in. It's like, okay, Ken, I'll ask you a question and then you can give a follow-up response. But if you just want to yell over the top of me, I'm just going to move on to another caller because I'm wasting people's time. They can't hear you and I talking over each other. So,
Brett, a little back and forth. And Brett Baer was fully within his rights as a journalist to interrupt her and follow up on her questions. Because when you're doing an interview, Kamala Harris, you don't get to just come in and give a speech for 20 minutes. You're there to answer questions. And so Brett Baer would ask her a question. Hey, Kamala Harris, will you apologize to the families of these Americans who have been killed by these killers that you've let into this country? And she, well, Brett, thanks for bringing up immigration, because that's a topic that everybody wants to rightly have a discussion about. It's like, Kamala, no, we don't want to just have a discussion. We want an apology from you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, and then when he asked her.
Sorry, so you're turning down.
I had to lower his microphone. We got David Noble's going General Schwarzkopf.
No, I was watching.
I want Holyfield.
No, seriously, like I was going nuts on the Twitch stream last night. I know that Tim and Billings had stopped in last night. We were having a great time last night. But then, so I'm sitting there watching the Kamala Harris interview, and my blood pressure is just going through the roof, and I'm yelling and screaming and freaking and mocking her and all this stuff, you know. And somebody comes into my Twitch chat, and the first comment was like, hey, is your blood pressure rising? Because my blood pressure went through the roof just watching that interview.
I love the David Noble Twitch freakouts because, you know, we get buttoned-up lawyer David Noble, you know, very philosophical, very intelligent, but I love the, I want Holyfield General Schwarzkopf freakouts on Twitch. Hey, hold that thought, because there's a question he asked her, too. He wanted a specific number. How many illegal migrants have come in just since you've been in office alone? And she refused to answer that question. First, we got about a minute before the next break. Let's go to Bill in Bozeman on the phone lines. Bill, what's going on?
Hey, I would like to totally thank you for keeping me informed. I'm a first-time listener. I just started roughly around 3 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And this has been the best way for me to be informed about my upcoming elections, who to vote for, and making the right decisions for me and my family. It's just been a great listening tool. And again, I'm not going to stop listening, but this has been the best way to be informed. I just want to
how so? What would be one specific example? And we only got about 20 seconds before the break, but I can chat with you more during the break as well.
I think because I haven't really voted in previous years, and so when I am now voting, I really base myself on what my beliefs are and what their beliefs are.
Yeah, and local issues, I'd imagine, it's hard to get info on. Hold that thought.
Military Matters.
Women veterans are the fastest growing group using VA services, but there is concern that the priority in care has actually been given to male veterans self-identifying as women. Republican Congressman Matt Rosendale pressed VA Secretary Dennis McDonough on the department's policy, which does not provide single-sex spaces for biological women.
We were making all this investment to try and make them feel comfortable, to make them feel more welcomed into the veterans' facilities. Why we would now be opening these exact same facilities to males who are identifying as women.
Within the department, there are some who feel that gender-inclusive policies come at the expense of female veterans. Dr. Eddie Waldrop is a clinical psychologist at the VA who specializes in PTSD.
Sometimes I work with female veterans who are concerned about even walking into the doors of the VA itself, much less about going into the restrooms, locker rooms.
With Military Matters, Alexandra Hoff, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with rain likely for both Billings and Bozeman. High temperatures staying confined to the 40s for Bozeman, but expecting low to mid 50s for Billings. Then for tonight, rain could mix with some snow showers for Bozeman. Less than a half inch of nighttime snowfall, lows into the upper part of the 30s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Matt, I had a bunch of things I wanted to talk about on Wednesday's Montana Talks, but we ran out of time because we got so many great phone calls from people all across Montana. We got to hear what you wanted to talk about, and you got a chance to be heard all across Montana. With less than 3 weeks to go before Election Day, we better do the same thing all over again for Thursday's show. We'll keep the phone lines open for you so you can weigh in on the big news stories of the day, or maybe bring up a point that nobody else has brought up yet. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana Talks at, with Lane Nordland.
As the leaves turn color and the temperatures get colder, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey explains the potential benefits derived from moisture expected to cover the western United States here this week.
With that change in temperature across the west, it will be preceded and accompanied by a fairly significant surge of moisture that will lead to some 1 to 2 inch precipitation totals across the Intermountain West and eventually extending as far east as the central and southern Rockies and the adjacent high plains. Given the cooler air coming with this moisture, that could lead to our first significant western snowfall of the season. Given the increased moisture across the west, and that will include high elevations snow, especially in the central and southern Rockies, that will be a great benefit to ending much of the western wildfire season. And 1 to 2 inches of moisture along with the high elevation snow should help to dampen topsoils and really reduce the wildfire concerns, except in California, where the season lasts a bit longer and we expect to see wildfire concerns, especially in southern California, lasting on into November or beyond this year.
And farmers are trying to finish wrapping up winter wheat planting before this moisture hits. As of Sunday, 68% of the state's winter wheat crop was planted. That's behind the five-year pace of 72%. 58% of the crop had emerged. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back to Bill and Bozeman here quickly, and then we'll get David Noble's thoughts. But I had a conversation off air during the break with Bill and Bozeman, and David was able to listen in as well. Fascinating insight. Bill, though, you mentioned how you haven't typically voted in past elections, but you're voting now. You told me during the break, look, you've got a 7-year-old daughter, and you realize now how and why your vote matters. That's why you're voting. But you started to tell me during the break how, you know, you've liked Donald Trump since way back in the day when you first saw him on TV. You're a Christian, you're a man of faith, and so but now you're saying, look, whether you like what Donald Trump says, whether you like what he tweets, look at what he's done. Anyway, tell us a little bit more about why this election is so important to you.
I think it's really important for the simple fact that you look at where our nation has gone in the last 3.25 years under this administration. Does that align with your beliefs? Does that align with how you want to raise your children? And I would have to say no. You are allowing illegals to come into our country. You're allowing these just horrific surgeries on little children. You're promoting things in the little children's brains during school time, which is not aligning with my morals, my values, my beliefs.
Or even just basic common sense. Yeah, Bill, great to get your insight. Thanks so much for sticking around. David Noble, you know, we talked more with Bill off air. I mean, what fascinating insight. To me, he represents also that, what is it, one-third of, I don't know if he's evangelical Christian or what denomination he is, but to me, what he just said there, he's symbolic of that one-third of evangelical voters that typically don't vote in elections that could literally swing the future for our country in every single election if more people like him get out and vote.
Well, and I find it very interesting that he noted as one of the issues This whole transgender surgery issue, transgender issues with sports, things like that. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see the Wall Street Journal editorial board put out an editorial saying that the men and women's sports is the sleeper issue of 2024?
Oh, yeah. Didn't you and I just say that a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Well, we did.
Or every week for the past year.
And you've been talking about it for a long time. And you know what's so interesting about that issue, Aaron, is go back, you know, 5 years, go back 10 years. That was an issue that you would have never, ever, ever thought the conservatives could have won on, because look at where we were headed in terms of gay marriage. Look at the way we were headed in terms of casual sex in society and sexual perversion and over-sexualization of everything and where our country was going on those issues. And then look at how viciously they were attacking any conservative that wouldn't toe the line, that wouldn't say the right pronouns, mm-hmm. that wouldn't accept biological unreality, et cetera, et cetera. And then you see today, you see people like that caller right there literally referencing that issue as one issue that's maybe driving him to vote for the first time ever. You've got that issue driving. Frankly, I've talked to a number of people who are not political animals like me and you are, like that caller who maybe hasn't been obsessed with politics like me and you in your whole life. The one issue that this Montana told to me is, I cannot believe that John Tester was paying female athletes for their endorsement. That John Tester ought to be thrown out of the Senate for that. You know, that's what people out there, I think average everyday Montanans are looking at. Oh, my gosh, John Tester believes in men and women's sports, and then he's trying to pay the female athletes to endorse him? That's egregious.
Well, that's like, even if you are a woman voter in Montana that considers yourself pro-choice, abortion is not illegal in Montana, and whether CI 128 fails or passes, abortion, much to many folks' chagrin, is still going to be legal in Montana, way beyond when it should be in terms of timelines, et cetera. But yet this crazy stuff is happening. They are trying to do this to your kids. They are taking away women's opportunities in sports. And look at the legislative Democrats. I stand with her. She should.
And Kamala Harris.
It's a dude. And Kamala, Zoe yeah. Zephyr is a dude. Now, I'm not trying to poke Zoe Zephyr in the eye here, but I'm saying what I'm pointing out is that the fake news media calls a man a her and a she. And they took the left-wing party line on this issue time and time again. And not only is John Tester wrong, the fake news media in Montana is wrong, and they are poking you in the eye. And every single legislative Democrat stood with this radical transgender agenda. So when you're looking at your ballot, it's all the more reason to just vote straight up and down Republican on that ticket. Not that every Republican has always been in the right on this issue either, because, we got some. Since here a few minutes ago from Tammy in Kalispell, we were talking about that Billy guy, Billy and Bozeman. Wait, and this is from Tammy in Kalispell, an unstable sex shop owner in Bozeman who lashes out at women is influential in the Montana Democrat Party? Say it isn't so. Tammy was not surprised by that newsflash at all.
Well, and then they wonder why they have a super minority in the legislature. They honestly, how can we expect anything other than a red wave when you have the polls where they're at? And I don't know if you've talked about this, Aaron, but if you look at Donald Trump's polling averages on the RCP top battlegrounds right now, he's up by 0.5. But what's crazy about that is not only is Trump leading right now in the RCP polling averages in all the top battleground states, what's crazy about that is not just that, but when you actually look at where he was in the polls in 2016 and 2020 in top battleground states at this point, in 2016 and 2020, Donald Trump was down anywhere between 8 points and 10 points in a lot of these battleground states in the polls. And then, of course,
he performed way better than what the polls were saying.
Yeah, so now the polls are already showing him winning. It's like how and you don't want to get overconfident and stuff like that. But of course, I've always been over optimistic. You know, I get myself all hyped up and I get myself all like, you know, expectations are through the roof for me now. And then I've been sorely disappointed numerous times in these elections. But I just can't help being optimistic right now. I don't know what it is.
Well, and I
I've said this before, that I think the big reason the what people thought was going to be a red wave in 2022 only turned into a red ripple was because Donald J. Trump was not on the ballot. He's on the ballot this time. And that's going to mean, I hope, very good things here in Montana. The other thing that Bill and Bozeman said is he said his seven-year-old daughter loves Tim Sheehy. So I asked him, I said, well, what does she like about Tim Sheehy so much? Because obviously there's a lot to say, wow, this guy's cool. He's successful, and success is a good thing. He's a former Navy SEAL, and kids love veterans, right? As most Montanans do. John Tester likes to trash veterans, but kids love veterans. So do most Montanans. He said that, well, we play at a park that he helped to build. So she thinks that's cool. But then he added this. He said that he thinks that the Shady Sheehy moniker that the Democrats used against Tim Sheehy made him cool. It made him cool with the kids, and it actually backfired on them. I've heard that so many times.
Right. It's like dark MAGA. You know, it's like any of this stuff.
Deplorables.
Yeah, no matter what it is.
Convicted. Yeah. They try to throw Trump behind bars, and it backfires on people. We've had enough of their Adam Schiff, right?
Right. And we want a good economy. We want a secure border, period. Let's go.
And, wow, Tim Sheehy, you know, served his country, got a Bronze Star for Valor and a Purple Heart. And then he came back and started a successful business and helped build you a playground. That's all good things.
Yeah. What has John Tester done?
Well, he's torn a lot of things down. And yeah, good point. All right, back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, David Noble, now I want to go find the actual soundbite, because there was this soundbite where Kamala Harris says, well, let me just read what Tom in Butte sent us on the Montana Talks app. Tom in Butte says this: did anyone catch the statement from Kamala? Donald Trump needs to take responsibility for what his administration has done. That is gold for holding her to the same standard. Donald Trump should use that on every future advertisement. And then Jeff and Victor, even before we got the message from Tom and Butte, said the same thing. Maybe she should take responsibility for all of the crap that has happened during her administration. Take her own advice. Classic liberal hypocrisy. Yeah, she let that slip, that Trump should take credit for what he did during his administration. It's like, yeah, that's the whole point, is that Americans. Lawrence Jones earlier this morning was in a black barber shop talking with, you know, a bunch of fellow African-American men. Lawrence Jones is on Fox and Friends. He happens to be black. And they're like, look, we saw how good things were under Donald J. Trump. They see how bad things are under Harris and Tester. So, yeah, you take credit for what you've done, and then he can take credit for what he's done.
And then Kamala Harris also said, we need to turn the page. We need to turn the page. And then somebody else on the Kamala Harris campaign said, we can't handle four more years of this. We can't handle four more years of this. We need to turn the page. It's like, what are you guys doing? They're running a campaign as if Trump is the president. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, they literally are acting as if Donald Trump is still the president. I don't get it.
That's what's so crazy about it all. And then when she asked Donald Trump, when Brett Baer asked her about Joe Biden's obvious cognitive decline here, I played the full soundbite in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But for those of you just joining us now here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, listen to this, just a portion of this back and forth with Brett Baer.
You call Donald Trump, he's misguided. You say now
he's unstable. He is unstable, Brett.
He's not well. You say he's mentally not stable.
He's not stable.
Let me ask you this. You told many interviewers that Joe Biden was on his game, that ran around circles on his staff. When did you first notice that President Biden's mental faculties appeared diminished?
Joe Biden, I have watched from the Oval Office to the Situation Room. And he has the judgment and the experience to do exactly what he has done in making very important decisions.
Yeah, but look at what he has done. I mean, that's the whole point here, Kamala, is that people can see what Joe Biden has done and they can see what you have done. But yet you want to say that Donald Trump is somehow unfit when obvious questions.
It's just ridiculous. It's like, Kamala, we didn't ask if you are walking around in the Oval Office. We didn't ask if you think Joe Biden has the judgment. We didn't ask any of those questions. She's answering questions that we didn't ask. What we're asking, Kamala Harris, is why did you lie to the American people for years about Biden's mental capacity? Same question for John Tester. Hey, John Tester, why did you lie? Straight-faced lie to the people of Montana for years about Joe Biden's mental capacity.
In the last 3 seconds, as you just made that point, I was like, oh, yeah, let's run the audio again on John Tester.
Joe Biden, when I've been around him, and that's not every day, but when I've been around him, when I've seen him on the news, he's absolutely 100% with it. Mm-hmm. And he's got his recall, cognitive ability, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a doc, I'm a dirt farmer, but he's
whatever.
Fine.
You're a dirt peddler. He's a straight up dirt peddler. Yeah, John Tester, what a fraud, what a phony. And he's been lying about Joe Biden just like Kamala Harris continues to.
Yeah, but Kamala Harris, first of all, like, it was so weird that she won't even admit. See, this is what's so weird. The Democrats still won't admit that Biden has mental decline. They still are not admitting that. They're still gaslighting us. They're still trying to say that, no, Joe Biden's 100% with it. John Tester's never taken that back. John Tester has never come out and said, hey, I was wrong on that. Or John Tester's never come out and said, hey, that was my opinion then, now my opinion. John Tester's never clarified or corrected that, has he?
And, of course, that's because the fake news media in Montana will never ask him one tough question like what Brett Baer just asked of Kamala Harris, and a follow-up. Oh, yeah, they'll say, why aren't you endorsing Kamala Harris? Okay, that's an easy question, and then he gives his easy little nonsensical answer, but they never follow up with a serious, tough question for this guy. Man, did you see the latest financial reports? John Tester with what? Something like he just raised $32 million. Kyle Schmock just shared via X that this U.S. Senate race between Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and Liberal Senator John Tester will be the most expensive election in U.S. history on a per voter basis. $225+ million spent already, driven mostly by the Democrats and their dark money out of state groups. And yet they're still losing. All the fake news media hit pieces on Tim Sheehy, and yet they are losing. The Democrats and the fake news media, too.
Same with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has raised like $1 billion. She has like $300 or $400 million more than Donald Trump, and yet she's losing. Of course, Hillary Clinton had more money than Donald Trump in 2016, and she lost.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what people don't understand is actually money actually doesn't mean everything in elections. We have example after example after example after example of candidates that had less money than their opponent and still won. Donald Trump in 2016, it was one example.
Yeah. I should have gone to the gym yesterday afternoon. You know, to do a show like this, you got to get up early. So mid-afternoon, it's like, okay, it's either nap time or it's gym time, right? Like, it's one or the other. And I was like, man, I should go to the gym. But I'm like, this governor candidate debate started at 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. So I was like, what the heck? Just for fun, I'm going to watch Governor Greg Gianforte clean the clock of this gun grabber Ryan Bussey. It's like nobody cares about the governor's race, frankly, because, you know, Gianforte's done a great job, over $1 billion in tax relief. Fussy Ryan Bussey is a radical climate activist. He's a radical gun control activist. He's polling worse than Kamala Harris right now. But I watched it. Did you watch the governor debate yesterday?
No,
he had better.
Didn't Governor Gianforte just get an award from Cato Institute or something like that?
He did. I had that in my show prep yesterday. What did he? Yeah, he got a.
He was one of the top governors in the state for small government liberty, basically.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got to find the act. Here it is, right here. Okay, I'm going into my recycling bin here. All right. Let's see. Here we go. Yeah, this was from the Frontier Institute. Montana's Governor Greg Gianforte, one of six governors receiving an A grade on fiscal policy in a new report card from the Cato Institute. Governors who have restrained taxes and restrained spending receive higher grades.
Yeah. So I see a story like that. I don't need to watch the debate.
Debate's over. Guess who got the lowest score of the 2024 fiscal report card on governors?
Governor Newsom.
Nope. Tim Walz of Minnesota.
No. Are you serious?
Worse wow. than California.
That was, well, so.
Worse than Newsom.
That's amazing. the Tim Walz part of the interview with Kamala Harris, I thought was a very, very telling moment because, first of all, Brett Baer is like, hey, Kamala Harris, you supported, you know, transgender surgery on illegal aliens in prison. You supported taxpayer funding of abortion. You supported taking kids away from parents if the parents don't support gender theory. It's all these things. And Kamala Harris is like, Brett, I've been very clear. I like good things and I don't like bad, whatever she said. And then Brett Baer was like, oh, and also, by the way, Tim Walz signed all those things into law in Minnesota, and you chose him.
Yeah.
You still support that? It's like, how can you run? How can Kamala Harris and John Tester run away from not only all of the policies they've supported while they've been in office, but the very policies that Tim Walz signed into law as governor of Minnesota, and now Kamala Harris is going to say, no, I don't support those laws that my own vice president signed into law as governor of Minnesota. Give me a break.
Well, it's like Monica Tranel, the Democrat candidate in the Western District running against Congressman Ryan Zinke. By the way, she got called out for lying in her campaign commercials about Ryan Zinke, so that's embarrassing for her campaign.
And it's embarrassing the way she surreptitiously recorded in his private property.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just off-putting and weird.
Yeah, there's something about I'll have people that'll say, Aaron, you know, you're very nice to your liberal callers that call in. And I'm like, well, it's what Montanans expect. If I hosted a national radio show, yeah, I could go, get off the phone, you jerk. You
like
know?
Mark Levin.
Yeah, I could go Mark Levin.
Shut
and
up, you putz.
Yeah,
hang up on
and
him.
Have fun. And yeah. That's what people love. But this is Montana. Like,
right.
People, like, expect you to be, you know, kind to even
right.
people you disagree. And so, yeah, that's where it's like, because I've had people that they're like, well, I appreciate that you're nice to them, even when they say the most outlandish things possible. And I said, well, it's just what, it's Montana, that's what we expect. But yeah, that's where Monica Tranel showing up in his driveway, targeting, like renting out one of his rental properties and filming inside of his house.
Yet again, as if having so much success that you can provide for your family with rental property is somehow a bad thing. You know,
yeah.
No, guess what, Monica Tranel? The first thing I'm going to do when I've got some savings built up is buy a rental property, just like I'm going to buy a ranch if I win the lottery.
It's a smart
Get
investment.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Not a good look for Monica Tranel.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Cybersecurity Awareness Month is still going strong, and LifeLock is here with a message about phishing, the scam cybercriminals use to trick victims into allowing access to their devices so they can steal their personal info. Being aware of phishing scams is one way to help protect yourself. For comprehensive identity theft protection, there's LifeLock. Start protecting your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com/podcast.
Fox News commentary.
CBS was caught once again selectively editing in favor of the Democrat narrative. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
You'd think after CBS's 60 Minutes program was caught red-handed, selectively editing and swapping Kamala's interview answers, they'd stop with the games, but nope. The latest example was brought to light thanks to House Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, he graciously joined the network's Face the Nation program to discuss Hurricane Helene aid and the plight of those struggling to rebuild in North Carolina. And in his response, he detailed a firsthand perspective of those on the ground to back up some of his criticism for the government response. However, when the interview aired, CBS edited that part out, leaving just a snippet of his answer. Now, luckily, Speaker Johnson had his own recording of his full answer, which he has since posted on social media. But is it any wonder American viewers and voters are skeptical of the mainstream media? Shame on you, CBS. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. There are five big factors when it comes to your credit score, which includes your payment history, amounts you owe, the length of your credit history, new credit you apply for, and the types of credit you use. Mary Poe, head of consumer education at TransUnion, says payment history is the single most important factor. Poe also adds that the credit utilization ratio is a big one that influences your credit score. Say if you have a $1,000 credit limit and you buy a $900 TV, your utilization rate is 90%, which shows lenders that you're getting close to the top, making you more of a risk. Poe says to keep the level at or below 30%. Also, having a healthy mix of credit is good. If you have a student loan and a car loan and a credit card, that shows you're balancing both installment and revolving debt. And if you're getting in gear for a big purchase, make sure your credit report is accurate and whether there's a freeze on your report. If there is, you have to unfreeze it before applying for credit.
Say my first name, Clay, as your promo code. Terms apply.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this is going to be a lightning round. We've just got a quick few minutes left here. We got a couple callers on the line. I got a couple of messages on the Montana Talks app. Plus, we got David Noble that we want to hear from some more here as well. So let's go into some quick phone calls here. Nancy in Roundup, first up. Nancy, what did you think of the Kamala Harris interview?
Well, it proves one thing. She doesn't qualify to be president of the United States, and she is clueless. She has no knowledge and no leadership skills. And I think Elon Musk said it best on Twitter X. He said that the interview was hilarious and deadly to Kamala. And quickly, I want to talk about A.G. Knudsen's new bill. He has sided with several other attorney general, state attorney generals. This is regarding in the Biden-Harris new suggestion to give amnesty to 1 million illegals in any state that houses any illegals. These illegals are safe from deportation, and they can sign up for permanent citizenship and in the meantime get benefits. So I urge everyone listening, including people on living on our reservations, to please call our Attorney General Austin Knudsen in support of his efforts, because we have to stop these illegals. They will continue to come if
That's
we don't
right.
stop them. And deportation is the only way to end illegal immigration. And thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Yeah, Attorney General Knudsen leads Coalition Against Immigration Program Rewarding Illegal Immigration. That was a headline here. He's leading a coalition of seven attorneys general.
You know what I wonder? I wonder, would it be possible for the state of – so I don't know if you – Aaron, did you know that it is a federal crime to hire an illegal alien as a worker, as an employee?
Oh, of course. But, of course, the Biden administration will threaten a lawsuit against you if you try to not hire people from other countries.
Right. So you literally have federal law on the books where it is a federal crime. It is a federal crime to hire an illegal alien as a worker. And I'm just wondering, I wonder, can we make that a state crime and enforce that against all these companies in this state that are hiring knowingly hiring illegal aliens as workers?
Now, if Joe Biden, John Tester, and Kamala Harris remain in power after November, they'll try to block the state from enforcing that state law.
Yeah,
but
they sued Virginia for trying to remove illegal voters
from the voter rolls.
Virginia to allow illegal votes. I mean, what in the world are they doing?
Yeah, it's crazy. James and Shepard sent us a message. If Kamala Harris couldn't tell that Joe Biden's mental health was in decline, how is she going to lead the country and have the ability to read our enemy? Great question from
Good
James
point.
And Shepard. Yeah. Gary and Billings, did you have something quick for us? What did you think of the interview?
Well, thank you, Aaron and David. As I sat and watched this comedy show, I guess you'd call it, you have to look back of how do we overcome. It's not Kamala Harris. It's the news media that keeps running like she's neck and neck with Donald Trump.
How do we overcome it, David? How do we overcome it? We only got about a minute or so to go here. I think we are overcoming it. I think people are getting the word out. They're using every avenue possible to get their message out and talk to their friends and neighbors. And
And people are realizing that the fake news media, even at the local level, is not going to get you the truth.
Yep. Listen to Montana Talks, and then just continually on a daily basis, remind everybody that if it is coming from the mainstream media, the traditional media, if it's coming from the newspapers or the TV stations, if it's coming from ABC, NBC, CBS, if it's coming from New York Times, LA Times, etc., if it's coming from NPR, etc., it's fake. It's just rejected out of hand. I mean, especially right now, 3 weeks before the election, this is a really, really important time to have your guard up and to recognize if it's coming from the traditional media, recognize it's most likely a lie. It is most likely a lie. That's my starting assumption on all of these mainstream media reports. I'm assuming this is a lie. Now, let's see if there's any truth there.
Follow David at LectureFan on social media. Download our Montana Talks content and share it, because you know Facebook and Google won't want to get the word out.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Gun owners in New York State might have had more freedom affirmed in federal court. The case is Christian v. James, and it's part of the ongoing Second Amendment legal battles following the U.S. Supreme Court overturning a number of gun laws in New York in their 2022 Bruin decision. This case was filed by the Firearms Policy Coalition and the Second Amendment Foundation, and a federal district judge in Buffalo rules the New York law requiring express permission to carry concealed on publicly accessible private property is unconstitutional. The ruling says the law doesn't pass the Bruin test of requiring a historic tradition when seeking to limit gun rights. Property owners do have a right to tell you no guns on their land, but the state can't do it for them by default. The court also denied New York a stay of its ruling while it takes time to appeal it. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News. We'll be right back.